Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, May 24th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 83, the third paragraph. There may be some wrongs, ending, "We don't crawl before anyone." And we're going to be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Karen KZ, 12 Traditions, Christy B. Readers of the text, Penny LC, Robin P., and Kara L. The reference number for Tuesday, May 24th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,285. That's 20285. And for this morning, Wednesday, May 24th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,290. That's 20290. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Carla C., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Karen KZ to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Karen KZ, gratefully recovered in Missouri. Step one. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. Pass.
Thank you so much, Karen KZ. I will now ask Christy B. to read the 12 Traditions of OA.
Hi, this is Christy B., recovering in Washington State. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you so much, Christy B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 83, the third paragraph, There May Be Some Wrongs, ending, We Don't Crawl Before Anyone, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only today. I will now ask Penny L.C. to begin reading.
Good morning, Don. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. There may be some wrongs we can never fully right. We don't worry about them if we can honestly say to ourselves that we would right them if we could. Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter. And there may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases, but we don't delay if it can be avoided. We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble, without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. And that's the end of the reading. And for me, this paragraph is the final set of instructions of step 9 of my action steps 4 through 9. And of my efforts to initially get right with others. The steps directions are made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. The relevant words here are whenever possible. When there are extenuating circumstances and I've taken all the actions available, then I let go of the amends for now, and I practice acceptance of what is, turning it over to my higher power. For example, if I had an amends to make to a past coworker for my behavior toward them, I reach out to ask if they would meet with me to offer an amends, and if they turn me down, then I am able to write out what I would have said and give it away to my sponsor or another trusted person. And then the most crucial action to take is giving it over to my higher power. and asking for the relief. For me, I had amends to make to family members that were deceased, yet I still made them. I wrote letters and went to a location in a natural surrounding that felt sacred to me, and I delivered my amends and felt complete. In some instances, forgiveness may or may not be received from the other person. Yet as long as I have taken all the measures necessary and possible, if I have been fully accountable to the best of my ability, then I have the assurance that I will receive a sense of release within my heart and my spirit will be freed. Now my responsibility is to follow through with any and all living amends on a daily basis. As I continue to seek and to follow my higher power's guidance. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC, for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every Thursday. Excuse me, 1 second, Elaine. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us besides Elaine G?
Kara L.
Kara L.
E. from New Jersey.
Ronnie
Barbara
B.
E.
That's Ronnie
okay,
B.
Okay, hold on. Barbara and then Bonnie.
Ronnie.
Oh, Ronnie, I'm sorry. Okay.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen. Very good. Well, let's start there. I have Elaine G, Kara L, Barbara E, and Bonnie. I'll still need your initial. I forgot that already. And Kathleen O. So Elaine G, please get us started, followed by Kara L. Go ahead, Elaine.
This paragraph really hit home. I was thinking about how my dad, that's deceased now, 4 years, but when it came to money, my dad was very generous. he took care of me financially, and I had said this, and I had made wasn't a living amends, I mean, but the amends I made, my fourth step around that my father claimed me as a dependent, and when the income tax return came, it came to me, and I was supposed to give to him, and at the time I was drinking and whatever, but not sober, I spent it. It was $2,000, and I took me and my son out to dinner every night, you know? Thinking about all the good food I'm going to eat. And, I made an amends. But the one thing I didn't make an amends for was my ex-girlfriend of 20 years, where I didn't accept her the way she is. And I kept on yelling at her, to tell you the truth, of the things that she did. And, yes, I can't think about her side of the street. I have to clear up my side of the street. But I really can't make an amends to her because she would think we're going back, you know? But I am going to write a letter and pretend I sent it, you know, like sometimes you could do that. And of all the things I would like to send to her, you know? All right, thank you.
Thank you, Elaine G. Kara L., please share with us, followed by Barbara E.
Good morning, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. I did, you know, like I heard earlier in this, is, you know, our last set of instructions. I love how our book here is full of instructions. You know, every single day I'm talking to somebody, a fellow or a sponsee or something, and a situation will come up and the answer will be here in the book. I'm like, oh, look at this page, or, oh, I just read that. And here it is for, like, we're talking about amends, and we're talking, and I don't know how to do things. That's how I got myself into trouble. I decided I knew how to do everything, and I didn't know how to do things. And until I could have a higher power help me, I kind of made a mess of my life. And now, in step, you know, 9, I'm trying to clean up that mess I made by thinking I knew how to do everything, or I had to know how to do everything. And it's incredible when we get to paragraphs like this and say, look, we're going to do the best we can. We're going to find everybody that we kind of, you know, stepped on their toes, or we did wrongs to, or we made assumptions about. I'm going to find all those people. I did all those things too, right? And first, I'm going to work with somebody to make sure that my head's in a good place, right? You know, I got to make sure that it's not self-seeking. I got to make sure that it's, you know, how they give us these instructions. We're going to be humble, right? And how do I do that? Well, I ask my higher power. You know, I say, okay, God, you know, I'm approaching this person. What does it need to look like? You know, what is it? How, you know, let it be your will, not my will be done. Because in my will, I'm the one that kind of, you know, threw things under the bus, right? And but if I am sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble, without being servile or scraping, right? That to me is not my own brain. That to me is when I'm in line with my higher power's will. How do I get there? Well, I got to do all the work to get there so I can say, God, help me clean up this mess. Help me to find your will here. Help me to be of service in this situation. How may I best serve in this situation? And then do that. You know, and on my own, I'm the tornado. In line with my higher power's will, I am sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Kara L. from California. Barbara E., please share with us, followed by Bonnie.
Good morning, my family. This is Barbara E. in New Jersey, a volume compulsive overeater, just a compulsive person. And I remember very clearly making an amends to my son. And it was, I had to listen to what he said, because at the end I said, is there anything else you would share? And he gave me a basketful of things that he felt I needed to do. And I said, well, thank you for sharing that. I will try to do better. I can't promise I will, but if I make a mistake, please call me on it. And I did learn early on, now this is just for me, that though it can be humbling to apologize for something I've done wrong, and it's easy to feel remorse when the pain of a mistake is still with me, the test of my commitment to the 9-step is if I continue to improve my behavior after the initial feelings of regret have passed. I have to do better, not just say I'll do better, but really make a conscious effort and understand that I'm not a mistake, that a mistake for me is a lesson, not a loss. So sometimes I do falter, but I watched a children's movie with my little granddaughter just recently, and it was talking about swimming. If you're in a bad place, just keep swimming, because eventually you'll reach shore. So I had to make amends to many people. I had to give up much money in my pocketbook, but I felt so much cleaner after I did. And I did not say I'm in a 12-step program and this is what I have to do. I said there's been something weighing on my heart. I need to tell you how wrong I was and exactly what I did, and strive never to do it again. For instance, gossiping. I don't go to the person and say, I'm sorry I gossiped about you. That would be creating new wreckage. But I make an effort not to gossip anymore. I do that because I know how bad it feels. Because if I'm judging you, I know you're judging me, and I try to be a better person, and a mistake, and I do make them, is a lesson, not a loss, not a dead end, just a temporary detour. So I love this program, and I know in the 12 and 12 it says we complete our amends for our wrongful actions of the past by changing our actions in the future. That says it all. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you all, and have a blessed and Memorial Day too, because I have to remember the past.
Time.
Thank you. Never forget it. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara E. from New Jersey. Bonnie, please share with us, followed by Kathleen O. And if you're just joining us, we are on page 83, talking about that third paragraph. There may be some wrongs ending. We don't crawl before anyone. So go ahead, Bonnie, please share with us, followed by Kathleen O.
Good morning, everyone. This is Ronnie with an R, B as in boy, in Missouri. So thank you, everyone, for the shares. I could really relate to so much, but what I need to do is have a focus on myself and what was I going to talk about. And God's plan is always on time. That always amazes me. I was just printing a letter that I'm going to send with my to my brother, and we have not spoken in 18 months. And some harms on both sides need some time and some space. Or as my sponsor says, let the dust settle. And when there's an atomic erosion, the dust is heavy. So it does take time. And so now is the time. So this is what I'm doing. I'm amending, and I'm trying to build. I have made direct amends, and I said specifically what the harm was, because that's what the book says. What was the harm? And the very first amends I made, like 40 years ago, truthfully, was to a former boss. And I did directly say, when this happened between you and I attempted to destroy your character. I gossiped. And he laughed. And he said, and I am so sorry for that. I have not done that in 30, whatever the number of years was. And I will never do that again. And I haven't. So now this amends is to my brother, and it's not an apology amends. It's an attempt to bring us back together. And I'm not looking for an apology. And this is not an apologetic situation. But it is a letter to say, it's been a while. I'm hoping all is well with you. And then I've enclosed some money for some labor. He put back-breaking labor into some things, and I paid him for a lot. So I want to make that clear. But nevertheless, perhaps he can see that my goal is for us to unite on some level. And by the way, I did get a call from him last week after 18 months. No message. And I called back and picked up but didn't speak. So baby steps is sometimes what I need to do. But it did take a very long time for me to feel good and healthy and spiritual about this. And I will definitely pray over the letter before I send it. So, yes, God needs to be included. This is not about crawling in front of anyone whatsoever, because that's inappropriate for the situation. But it is about forgiveness time. It is about forgiveness. Thank you for the time. I will pass.
Thank you so much, Ronnie B. from New Jersey. Kathleen O., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much. And thanks, everybody, for your great shares this morning. Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. So we're being told that some of the wrongs we can never fully right, as long as we would honestly right them if we could. But we don't delay if we don't have to. And for me, it was important to make as many amends as possible without delay, but there were a few I felt I couldn't make. And my sponsor didn't tell me to make them, but she did say to be willing to make them. And I had to be willing. So it actually took a few years, but, you know, it was okay. It's, this program isn't meant to cause us anxiety, in my opinion. It took a few years, but God did for me what I couldn't do for myself and literally put these people in front of me. So we should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scrapy. We don't crawl before anyone. So these are the directions on how to do this. And, you know, this isn't about begging for forgiveness because that isn't the goal. The goal is to make right any wrongs and don't do it again. Don't do it again. I have to keep telling myself that. And I had to make right the wrongs I committed. And rather than say I'm sorry, saying I regret my behavior was sometimes more appropriate for me than saying I was sorry. So most of my amends were graciously forgiven. But, you know, there was one where I wrote a letter and never heard from the person. So we aren't always forgiven, but that's not the point of this. You know, this is about changing my behavior and not creating more harm. And living amends is changing how I treat people. So, you know, we've been reminded in these paragraphs that spiritual life is something we have to live. And it can be challenging to put the food down and tackle our amends. It's a lot. You know, I was consumed by my ego and the food. And just because we put the food down doesn't mean life won't continue to have its ups and downs. I mean, life does ebb and flow, and it's life. But when life gets tough, I find that's when God shows up. And, you know, God comes in different forms. We don't have to define it. When I live a spiritual life, things always seem to work out. And I was able to make my amends being considerate and humble, and some of them were difficult to make. But, you know, that power that resides in my heart and my mind, couldn't do it without it. So once I cleared up the wreckage and stopped being the tornado, I found I was more patient and tolerant and forgiving. It's been easier to stay in the present and come from love and be mindful. So it's a better life than I ever could have imagined. You know, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I don't knowingly harm people, but when I do screw up, I make amends. And it takes work, but it gets easier. And I find I don't step on toes like I used to. So I have peace and serenity in my life. You know, don't skip over this step. Take it seriously because the rewards are incredible. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. And I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share?
Anna B.
Janice P. M.
Was that
Robin
Anna B?
Roz G.
Anna
B, yeah.
Okay,
Janice
Anna B.
Janice
Robin in Costa Rica.
Okay, I have Anna B, Roz G, and I have Robin P. from Costa Rica.
Mo H.
Dana
B is a boy.
I don't know.
Dana B. And who is that other voice?
Janice.
I did not. I'm sorry, Janice.
No problem.
Very good. Yep. Okay, I have Anna B., Roz G., Robin P., Mo H., Dana B., Janice P. M., and there was one other person there. Your voice is really soft. If there's some adjustment you can make to make your voice a little louder.
Darlette P.,
perfect. Okay, very good. Okay, Anna B., please get us started, followed by Roz G.
Hi, Hannah B. from Tennessee. Grateful to be here this morning. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. One of the biggest perks of amends in the ninth step is that once you make them, you really don't want to make them again. So for me, I don't like making amends. I'm really grateful when they're over. I'm so grateful for the gifts and the promises that manifest after I make them and after I do this step and while I'm in it, because it's like just the floodgates of freedom feel like they open up. But there's certain amends that I've had to make that I just don't want to make again. Some very humbling ones. So, you know, and it's a struggle because I'm in my, you know, I've just been through the steps again, and there's not a ton of amends because I've kept it pretty clean. I've stayed on top of it, but there are a few, and there's some of those amends that are just kind of like hanging around that I've tried to adjust, and they keep happening, and obviously these are my defects, but I'm just kind of looking at it with, I guess, fresh surrender to allow, to really accept and allow spiritual help in, on the other side of this amends, of really, really, really amending and changing these behaviors, because, you know, they just don't serve and they keep me sick. So I'm just so grateful to be able to be on the line and be with you guys in recovery. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Anna B. Roz G., please share with us, followed by Robin P.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, Los Angeles County. You know, I'm not in the food today. I am a compulsive overeater, and I'll always be one. But just, you know, for today and for the past few years, I haven't, you know, been in the food, in the alcoholic food. I haven't found it necessary to binge and compulsively overeat. And being an living in an abstinent life causes me to have raw emotions. And I am sometimes not emotionally sober, you know? And there are, you know, certain family dynamics in my life that can trigger emotional binges for me. And I had one about 2 weeks ago, and I'm still talking about it. Can you believe that? I need to pray the freedom from bondage prayer on it. I've begun that, but anyway. And I, you know, I did something. I requested something of someone that really, really was unnecessary. And after thinking about it, I realized that what I said and requested was unnecessary. And I looked through the book about that we're not scraping, we're not servile, we stand tall and put the bit in the teeth and make the amends. And that gives me permission to say to myself, Roz, you're never going to rise above the status of a human being. And, you know, always in my life, as long as I'm a human, things are going to bother me. I'm going to get annoyed. I'm going to get resentful. I'm going to get jealous. I'm going to get fearful. And the big book, you know, says when these things crop up, you know, and did I do it because I didn't do the 10th step right away? I made the request and I was just inappropriate. So I made a video message to this person and sent it to them. And then we talked on the phone, and it come to find out the person wasn't even mad at me at all. I conjured it up all in my head. So beating up on myself is not good. And remembering that I'm a human being is great. And having self-esteem, recognizing that I need to make amends every once in a while, and like the other share, I don't like doing it either. But, you know, after I do it, oh, my gosh, I feel so much better. The sunlight of the spirit shines through, and I can live my life. Yes, and it gives me permission to just be another bozo on the bus. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Roz G. Robin P. from Costa Rica, please share with us, followed by Mo H.
Thanks so much. Thanks for your service, Dawn. I'm Robin P., and I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And, you know, I love that it says we should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. You know, we don't crawl before anybody, and we stand on our feet, you know, and that's really helpful to me because I felt like I had so much low self-esteem, and I felt so inferior to everybody, and like that self-centered fear at the center of the universe, and it's such a relief to just follow this guidance, and we're all just humans. We're spiritual beings having a human experience doing the best we can, and You know, I'm so grateful for my ninth steps. I'm so grateful that I have a great relationship with my family today. And all of that is through this program. You know, I grew up in so much child abuse, and I just thought I would never have a relationship with my parents and some of my siblings. And, you know, I have a relationship with everyone today, and it's a good one, thank God. And it is true that, you know, I did go to a church. I wrote in and sent a letter, quote-unquote, by leaving it there at the church for my stepfather who had passed away. And I really knew he got it. And so it feels to me like there isn't anyone that I couldn't make an amends to, as long as I'm willing. And just to catch up, we're coming back to the States for 3 months to see if we can find a home there for half the year, if that's God's will. And we come on June 30th, and we have two dogs who adopted us a year ago, and we have not been able to find a home for them. And after working the steps and the program on it, we are taking these two, we're calling them retired jungle doggies. They're in training now. Two dogs with us. So our family just got bigger, and they will be living in a Sprinter van with us for 3 months as we find our new home for half the year. So all of this is through God's grace and mercy and working the steps on everything. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinence day I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Mo H., please share with us, followed by Dana B.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you, Dawn, for your service and all those giving service. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater from Walnut Creek, California. You know, this Bill, who wrote this book, and along with others, really created a magnificent design for living, as it says in the big book. And this ninth step is really a powerful step. You know, when I was a kid, the way we did the ninth step is we went to confession and we confessed our sins and we were given penance, and then that was it. It was done and over, and then I did it again. I never learned how to, I didn't learn how to apologize and change my behavior until I started studying this book. And I have a note here in my book that sorry ends in Y. So when I say sorry, as I've heard it said before, it's flat. It lands. It does nothing, because when I'm sorry, I'm not changing my behavior. So I love the ability to just say, I apologize, and this is how I plan to change my behavior. And there was a one amends that was on my I'm never going to do it list. And, of course, when I got to that point, you know, it's like, oh, okay, it was to a stepsister-in-law. And I felt she had harmed me, but I had actually harmed her by just shutting her out of my life. And I said to my sponsor, well, I don't know where she is or any of this. And she said, would you have any address? And I said, well, yeah, I have one from a long time ago. I'll write a letter and send it. And so I did, composed a letter, talked it over with my sponsor. I love that ability to talk it over with somebody and work it out and make it simple and keep it short and simple. And so I wrote the letter and I sent it to her, and it came back. And I said to my sponsor, well, I guess that's God telling me I don't have to do it. And my sponsor had me call relatives and find out, you know, where she was now. And I did. And I sent the letter the second time and, you know, was afraid of what would happen. And she did call me. Back in the day, it was no cell phone. It was the home phone. And she told me what was going on in her life at that time. And she said it wasn't me at all. It was her. She was, you know, having a rough period with her own two boys. So there was a person on this line that used to say, don't shrink down, don't puff up, but stand on your sacred ground. And, you know, that's part of the ninth amends. And what I really like about them is the apology and the changing my behavior. And then I practice on doing living amends and not doing that behavior. But if it should pop up, then I, you know, will do another apology and work on the behavior again. And that used to happen a lot with my husband. Did you say time, Dawn?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
With that, I'll stop. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mo H. from California. Dana B., please share with us, followed by Janice P.M.
Good morning. Dana B., that's B as in boy, from Texas. Is there an echo? Can y'all hear me?
Yep, we can hear you just fine.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Echo.
Yeah, no worries.
I've always backpedaled, shied away, started slacking through 9, 10, and 11. So my defects of righteousness and always having to be right and just ego, pride, that's what I was trying to say, makes it hard for that amends to come out of my mouth, how to start it. So what I literally need are just sometimes the words to start, and I heard a lot of good ones this morning. I loved There's Been Something Weighing on My Heart. I love that one. So that one feels very sincere, and that it does come from my heart. I was focusing on the paragraph, which is the sensible and simple, but not crawling. So not begging, not making an amends from a place of shame. So that reminds me to just really put as much time and work into this program as possible, that I'm on fit spiritual ground, or as Mo just said, sacred ground. I really loved that one too. And, you know, I have mentioned last week, I have an out-of-state funeral / memorial. So I want to stay in the present, but I do recognize to go there, I need to have my spiritual armor on, and where I can be comfortable there. And amends that were on my never list, because I had no idea how to reach them, there may be some there. And I want to just be able to have God right there with me if something kind of comes at me that I didn't see coming, or someone, that I can also come from that place of sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble, no matter what may happen. And you know what's funny about being on the never, I don't know where they are list? Do you know most of us can Google our names and it gives our current phone numbers? And you have to go through all these steps to get it off Google. But so I'm thinking people I could never find, I can actually find them. And then the courage to do the face-to-face amends, or to do the call, even though they have to now be moved over from my never list. Well, thank y'all for being here. Yes.
Thank you so much, Dana B. Janice PM, please share with us, followed by Darlette P.
Well, thank you so much, Dawn, and thank you all for your shares. They're just something else. Divine. I have a situation, well, it's not a situation, it's an experience, that I had to make amends to a family member, and she sent me a letter how rude I was and with my talk and all that. And, you know, she was right. So I went to my sponsor, who has, like me, gone through these steps. Otherwise, I couldn't do any of this anyway if I didn't go through the steps. And her direction was different than mine. First of all, I had it in my mind, nope, I'm not going to make amends to this person because she'll want to get back with me in a relationship, a family relationship, and I didn't want that to happen. So I was in charge of the results. However, you know, I know that I'm not in charge of the results. Well, what I did is I wrote out my character frailties, my character defects, and I read it to, I know what they are myself. I prayed to God and gave it to God, and I gave it to my sponsor, and she suggested that I do not go to her. Now, that was the opposite of what I've been taught. And I'm saying, well, what do you mean? You know, our big book says blah, blah. She says, Janice, I'm, you know, suggesting, and of course I want to put in that I do trust my sponsor. Because you know why I trust my sponsor? Because I trust God. I trust God with this. So naturally, I want to be like holier than thou. I have to go to her. And she absolutely said not. And I said, but why? She says, well, Janice, you don't want to stir up any combat. Because she knew who this person was. And she said, you know, he said, she said. And, you know, that was pretty hard for me to do. And if I know, you know, if I know that I am right with God, I gave him my defects of this person. I am right with myself. I had a lot of character defects, and I will never, never have to do it again. Hopefully that I have changed my attitude towards this. I don't have any sensitivity when I talk to her, because like it was said, she triggers up something in me. And this is what my sponsor said for me to do. You might still be irritating. There might be some quarrels. Yeah, certainly. Thank you so much. You might be holier than thou that you're going to her. So, and you know, it takes a lot of courage, a lot of courage, thank God, to do this and trust. So that is my take, and that's my experience, and that's what, you know, that's what I have to listen to. And that's a big thing for me. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you so much, Janice PM. And Darlet P., please share with us. You have about a minute, minute and a half share. Go ahead, Darlet.
Hi, this is Darlet P., grateful member of OA. I want to thank everybody on the line today for all their shares, and thank all those that are putting this meeting together. My biggest amends was to an institution, and which I owed money to. And I prayed about it because I could never pay back the amount that I took properly because I'm on a fixed income now. And my sponsor, I took it to my sponsor, and my sponsor said to not to openly admit what had been done, but to make a financial amends. So I made an anonymous donation to the institution in the amount of money that I could afford. And that made it lifted up so much off my shoulders. And and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Darlet P., and everyone who shared. I'm now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Dawn. It's Robin P., grateful recovery compulsive overeater from Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. You guys just check your mute status and press star one. Thank you. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.